So it's like when you're a kid and you don't realize things are what they are until you get older. And it's kind of funny because when I was younger, I had a little quirks, you know, every kid does, but apparently, according to my mom, specifically, I used to like come home, no matter where we went, no matter the situation at home, no matter what we had to do next, like even if we're having dinner or something, I don't care, I'm gonna be in my best attire. And you best bet my best attire was nothing but my diaper. Because who needs that strangling up you? You know, who needs to be restrained that much? As a kid, I even knew it. I knew it before my time. And that's what I'm saying. So I kind of do remember that, to be honest with you, pretty well, actually. But that's my earliest memory of something that I would call OCD-like tendencies, maybe, or like a little bit of a obsessive, not even obsessive, just like a compulsive thing I feel like I have to do. Now, that's early stages, obviously, because granted, it wasn't built around an anxiety complex that I would say I have now, but hey, it existed. So then, as I go further on, I recall always having to pull my socks up to my knees, and it's just being a comfort thing, you know? I also used to wear like a hat, now I think about it, a lot, and like, yeah, it was the style and whatnot, but like, just having that hat on too, just the feel of it was, again, that comfort, that protection. Like, it's that little separate, it's almost like a shield from the real world, even though it's just a little thin piece of cloth. But hey, that's all you need to trick your mind sometimes, you know? And other than like clothing, obviously, things that stand out for me when I was younger too were I used to be terrified of bugs, terrified of animals. I'm surprised to even have my dog. God rest her little cute soul, her amazing soul. Not just cuteness, obviously, but yeah, like we used to have bunnies, and I don't know why we even got them, to be honest. It was more like a who's that bunny in the window kind of thing, you know? It was kind of spontaneous, like from what I recall. But it was just I had to like I had to soldier on in. We used to have them in like this playpen area where me and my sister used to play, but also when they had to get exercise, we used to let them roam free. And it got quite busy. Side story, they ended up both not being girls, so you know what happens. And bunnies like to, you know how it goes. So yeah, we had a bunch of little bunnies running around too. So that, man, I had to, there was more enemy targets than I was even prepared for. But hey, I did it. I would go in, socks to the knees, you know, old Jason ripping those clothes off, no time for him. Socks to the knees, freaking mittens on, a hoodie, a hat, anything long sleeve, just that necessary protection. And then that's when I feel like the anxiety started like showing, maybe. Again, we all got anxiety, so it's nothing to cry home to. But it's just me reevaluating potential warning signs that maybe, I don't know, could have been there. It's just an interesting fact, you know? So yeah, there's that. Then again, with the bugs, terrified of that. Outside, pretty much, there's a lot of times in the summer it was too buggy, too what have you. I would just stay away. I would stay inside where I'm protected. I only got stung by like one wasp in my life, except for actually a few months ago, I got stung the second time. And so I really don't have an experience that really deterred me off from nature, so to speak. But it's just, again, the fear of the unknown, I would say. So there's that. And then picking up from physical, actual things that maybe seem more realistic to be scared of, it became more of the invisible thing. So I started becoming scared of like touching ketchup bottles in restaurants, salt and pepper. I would have my parents do it for me. And then again, as I got older, I would still do the same thing. Because again, it's just like, I don't want to touch germs. I don't know where people have been. And that goes back to the biggest thing, which I'm totally like just crossing off and like blindsiding right now. But it's also the hardest thing, because the hardest thing for me has to do with hygiene as far as the bathroom is concerned. Okay? I know the bathroom's, ugh, gross, yuck. But guys, yeah, that's exactly right. That's why it was gross for me. And it's hard to talk about because it's a disgusting private area. So yeah, it had to do with the bathroom and hygiene and cleaning myself and making sure that I was completely sanitized from head to toe for particular areas when I was younger. And then even if I ended up, let's say, like COVID terms, spreading the contamination, like everybody does in these like public facilities, God help us all. But like, even if I was spreading it and it was like kind of obvious behavior, like, yo, if you're scared of that, why aren't you scared of spreading that? It's not about, for me at least, and to this day, it's not about the hygiene itself. It's about kind of it's where my mind has taken me. It has focused on a certain aspect in a certain area that has to do with, for me at least, visual properties, where it's not necessarily the thought process of, oh, that's dirty. Yes, there is some of that, but it's mainly, to this day, and did start as like a visual thing where I need to see something. I need to have that sight. The target has to be on sight at all times, like the bunnies, because if they're not, it's the fear of the unknown. And it, science, again, as I get older too, you realize stuff, yes, then it picks up and it became more of a, yeah, it had to like be clear in all areas, not just certain areas within the facilities. And because of that, like, processes of just getting ready took way too long, to this day take way too long, and it's just unnecessary. But again, it's to feel comfort. And I'm just going to stick with this right now, and I'll talk more about how I continued on to this day and age, about how kind of OCD tendencies developed in a more complex way, I would say, that steered away from just like little fears and more compulsions and more, not irrationalities, because I guess it is irrational to a sense, but in my mind, it's just like the overthinking and the fear of the unknown has spread to like completely stagnant behavior, as I have most likely mentioned in previous episodes. But yeah, back to the washroom facility thing. So yeah, it although I even to this day, it's become a problem. It's become an increased problem, especially with COVID. Not necessarily because of COVID itself, but just because, again, being stuck in your house, having more time to think, having more time to develop these unhealthy thought processes, has really just deterred my focus from anything I should, because there really wasn't anything to focus on as far as like social life goes, as far as like job life goes. That's why school has helped me, to be fair, because I started earlier September, and like school and like when I had a job, like it really does help, whether you like it or not, as a actual thing to do. That's besides the point. It's a distraction. But yeah, so, and speaking of distraction, that's exactly where I'm trying to go to. So I have helped myself get off of certain aspects when it comes to the washroom, but and it shocked me too, because it was after a conversation I had with my friend, whose opinion I am going to share with you guys, of how he sees me compared to how I see myself in public, and just how like my mind is telling me how I feel and how that affects how I come across to everyone in my own mind, in my own perspective, compared to how he perceives me. And again, there's a lot of biases there that are obviously separate from whether or not he sees these tendencies, these compulsions, these obsessions, because maybe he just thinks I'm a cool guy. For all I know, maybe he doesn't. Maybe he hates my guts. Who knows? You know, that's his business. But, you know, there's going to be differences and there's going to be similarities. But let's just hear him out, shall we? Anyway, so yeah, it's funny, though. I had a conversation with him and it was so simple. We were just saying, like, it's like, it's almost like you would read in a self-help book. It's like, yeah, it's so common sense that just don't think about it. Like, think of something else where you want to have your mindset to, or not even like, don't even think about future goals, because that doesn't work for me. I don't know about you, but it doesn't work for me, because I'm about now. Okay? And now is what I, so funny enough, again, what do I want? Well, it's the same reason that these compulsions and obsessions picked up in the first place. Because, okay, I'm going to go back. I really started noticing it, especially when it comes to like the bathroom and stuff and like hygiene, after my like first ever, to this day too, girlfriend, if you want to call her that, to be honest. But like, we ended things and it was just, it's like now that I'm in this, okay, I got to reevaluate myself, this position where now I have to represent myself for future endeavors I go on, but I want people to see me how I see myself. And that, to me, as I got older, has been the major thing, not just to protect myself from the unknown. Well, I guess it is the same thing. Yeah, I am protecting myself from the unknown, but I'm also doing it in a way that ensures, which is obviously insane to say, because there's no 100% guarantees in life, okay? And what you think is 100% sure thing, it's not. It's not ever going to be. So all you can do is make sure that your mind is content with whatever you are in the process of doing, thinking, perceiving, what have you. But my mind, and to this day, I struggle with, I need people to see me how I see myself. And that just made the hygiene thing even worse, because I had to feel like a certain high standard self that I had to meet. And if I wasn't, it downfalls from there and things just spiral out. Depression, anxiety out the wahoo, you know what I mean? Time just like slows down almost, because you're just like so drained and tired, but you still got to get the job done. This job that doesn't pay, and yet we're still doing that. That kind of seems familiar. That's besides political, societal commentary. This is about me. God damn it. Anyway, but yeah, so it's just that. Oh, it was just, you have to have this done. And again, and it's so simple, though. My friend and me were like, yeah, just go to your happy place, just think of that. And I'm like, no, man, you don't get it. But he did get it. And then I was so shocked, because that night I literally thought to myself, I can't do this, because it was like, I'm at a breaking point for like how many times in my life, but this was like really hidden. This was like the breaking point of COVID for me. And it was just like, at this point too, I was like, it extended over to my food, which I probably mentioned about, I was washing trays, making sure like food doesn't touch my clothing and stuff. My face, I had to wash my face after every time I ate. Anything that was like kind of like something that looked like it would stain, I didn't want it. Anything that's noticeable, because again, it's, I don't want it to be on me, because then that portrays how I come across to people. If they see it, I get ideas in their mind. Like I said last episode, those like you're freaking yourself out over nothing. You're putting ideas in people's mind that may or may not exist, and you're worrying about nothing. Could be everything, but again, you will never know. So what is the sense of doing it? But there I was. Anything that's a visual, anything that you could possibly see, I don't want it in my presence, out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes that works, and sometimes that's for the better, to be honest. So yeah, that night I was like, I'm not going to think about it. That's it. And the next day, I took, I guess you want to call it his advice. I'll give you the advice. I'll give you the credit, Matt. It's okay? But my advice too, you gotta listen to yourself first and foremost. And I just thought about a happy place, a happy person that made me happy. And it was that simple, to be honest with you. And even if that person isn't necessarily the perfect thing. Even if the situation you thought about or the idea you thought about wasn't the perfect thing. As long as you trick your mind in the best way possible into believing that that is happy, it will suffice as a distraction, and it will ease the anxiety, and it will ease your heart rate, and it will just ease the amount of stress you're feeling. I swear to you. And yes, it's not a guarantee that it'll go away forever. I'm pretty sure it won't, because it has not for me. And again, that's another thing. Things for me tend to cross over. As they say, when one door opens, or when one door closes rather, another one opens. So for me, that happens with my OCD-like tendencies. I'm not going to say OCD because I'm not really diagnosed yet, but I'm pretty dang sure it's OCD. Let's just say it is, okay? From here on out. So my OCD, okay? When one door closes, another one opens. And that's so true, because once something is solved, unless you continue to practice on in a consistent manner or get further help in a way that suits you, then there's a very high likelihood that it's going to transfer, if you're anything like me, to something else, like the trays that happened over COVID, and then you're going to pick up the similar tendencies, or even more advanced ones, or different ones, what have you, and then come across into something else. And that's what happened to me, because over COVID too, I twitched, okay? I always twitched. It was just a thing that it's like almost, it started like when I was high school, I had to crack my neck. That's what I claimed it was. Yes, maybe you gotta crack your neck, but it was like that feeling where it's like once you get a good crack, man, and just feel content. Feel like everything's in line with your body. And it's all in the head, to be honest with you. And I figured that out as I got older. And again, so my sister, when we were younger, she hit a tree. We were in the hospital for a bit. She had a bloody spleen. She had to get it removed. Almost. Yeah, almost. Twin sister, too. That shows how much I pay attention. But no, I did. Because I gained a tick from it. And yes, it's common in young men, especially. But it was a vocal tick. It was like a every few seconds. And it happened for like a year, half a year at least. And again, so like being a person who is prone to that while younger on, the chances are too, like when you're older, you might get something too, especially if you have like OCD, like I'm pretty sure I got. So my compulsions have become more of a twitch thing, especially in the neck, facial things. And that's what happened in COVID. I always had it, but like, especially when I got stressed out, being stuck in an area with family and all that, maybe things on the news you see, you don't agree with, you don't like what's going on, you feel like your voice isn't heard, it just increases, amps up. Started with the neck, got more facial, eyes, jaw. Even when I'm sleeping, which never happens, especially when I'm alone, that's like, that was an oddity for me. And then two, it's just everything, man. It just builds up, and I don't want to go on too long because this is already too long. We're going to hear from Matt. We're going to see his opinion. And we're going to respect his opinion. And I thank you for your time. And I thank you, Matt, for your time. And from what I hear of this guy's opinion, man, it means the world to me. And he'll find out why. At the same time, you have to understand that there is no more excuses, because let's think of the happy place. No, I'm kidding. But honestly, it's just a sucky thing. You have to figure out what works for you. Because, and I need to, I'm speaking myself too. I have to figure out what works for me, okay? Okay. Because as much as people tell you that you're the greatest, that they don't see anything wrong, or that they do see things that are wrong, but it's not like a big deal, as much as it's coming across to yourself. Yes, it's reassuring, which is, they say, is the worst thing. But to be honest, I'm going to disagree as far as I'm concerned, because reassurance is something that it makes you feel heard at the very least. And we all need to be heard because we're social creatures. Okay. So Being heard is one thing, but then being heard by yourself is another. You have to hear yourself. When another door closes, another door opens, and then another one, and it's gonna be a long journey, so rest your head, okay? Listen, my friend Matt. Thank you, guys.
In terms of the traits that you yourself have, that would be pretty minimal to my mind, but the consequence of them can also be huge, right? There's not just how small or how infrequent a task might be that you have to do perfectly. It could very well be the case that something just takes an entire different effect because it shows up in a particular place. An example of this being, let's say every time you went for any reason out the front door, you had to clean the front door. Like, it couldn't be dirty when you left, but the front door, let's say, is facing the outside and there's no screen, no secondary glass door, so it gets dirty and dusty all the time. So every time you go out the door, you're stopped and paused for this strange ritual. That can have a huge effect if people are leaving with you and you're leaving. You then either have to preemptively do it before you leave with them, or you have to say to them, you know, I'm going to do this thing for 5 minutes before we leave. Or you end up, even if it's not even that it's just your own door, you have to do it to every front door. That becomes such a onerous thing, even though it seems small to check for dirt on a door. So that's the context, right? The idea that it's not so much what the item is necessarily, but the impact that you have it in your life and how it affects your relationship with your day-to-day, the people that you're with, how you can navigate real life. And I think people need to support each other, not simply as like, hey, let's support each other, but take a real role when it comes to helping somebody get over these things, because it becomes detrimental if it goes the other direction. And it becomes worse and worse and worse in terms of its specificity and need and the amount of frequency that it happens. So, you know, it's about educating yourself about what somebody else goes through, but it's also being willing to listen first. So if ever somebody needs to listen, have somebody listen to whatever is ailing them or bothering them or nagging them, I take that approach.
I would just like to end off is stating, I don't want to ramble on too much here. Obviously, I'll save it for the next episode. But next, I want to kind of talk about how it is my mind works and how it is I conceptualize these proceedings of just constant self-torture, if you will, in the most negative sense, but just longing and lingering of a thought and a perception of sorts, whatever it has to relate to, whether it be washroom related, whether it be Twitch related, or whether it be bug related, you know, whatever it has to do, whatever it has to do with. And I want to also just get into the nitty-gritty of, like, you know, I just want to get deeper into understanding the mindset behind the nature, and not just expose it for what it is and what it's like doing to me, but rather like appreciate it and show my appreciation through not just taking the time to understand it better, but by dissecting it as a unique part of me and appreciating it for that sense, because I feel that I know I already do that, but I have to do it in such a way where it almost like totally transfers this whole negative aspect that has me avoid behaviors, even though I love them, which is like a weird love-hate relationship thing, which is probably the most toxic relationship you could have. But like, I have to do it in a way where like I have to obsess in a good way, if you will. Like, I have to want to approach these things that are now being limited to me because I'm in an avoidance constantly. You know, I have to be addicted in the best way possible. So we'll touch more on that in the next episode, and I'll get more opinions from my friends and family. And yeah, we'll see what goes on. I don't want to promise anything either. That's just what I would like to do. Thank you.
When not in notions, have you lost? A monk's unhealthy devotion, all for naught. Your best bet of tissue alone won't do. No worries, I got you. Tune in where I, Jason Swigger, will help you.
Help me?
Yes!
Feel even the slightest bit bigger. Only on Flower Bedhead Radio. Only on CKDJ 107.9. Yes.